4, 3, 2, 1, action.
What's the deal? You already know what time it is, man. It's your boy, Dank Sinatra. We're here at the Blue Cigar and Podcast Lounge, man, in San Bernardino. Getting in, man, smoking a stogie, smoking a blue cigar. If you haven't stopped by, man, check us out. Look us up on Google, the Blue Cigar Lounge in San Bernardino off of Hospitality, man. That's where we at, home of politics and broadcasting. So this episode right here is brought to you by, you know what I'm saying? You already know, Exotic Pops, man. So we got the Exotic Pops going, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't know, now you know, man. You pouring up your double cup, make sure you get that Exotic Pop. So I got a special guest today, man. Ariel the Mermaid, man, from New Orleans.
Ariel.
Now she out here in California getting it in. So we finna chop it up, man. So introduce yourself to the people. Let them know about you.
I'm Ariel, A-R-E-I-L, the Mermaid. A lot of people mess up my name a lot. I used to get mad at it, but I guess it's just, you know, it's the first mermaid is Ariel, which is the most popular one. But I get it.
I think that people mess your name up because autocorrect, man. Autocorrect gonna change that E and I every time. You don't pay attention. You ain't
But you know
see
one
it.
Thing about it? Ariel is actually Greek, and it was actually changed by the English language. So it really was spelled Ariel. But because of the English language, it's been changed to Ariel.
So what made you choose that as your like rap moniker?
I'm not gonna lie to you. It was a day I was working at this hair store, very popular hair store, and I was trying to figure out a name that would make me different without it being so made up. And I was looking at it, a certain sign had came to me, and I was like, I wonder what type of name I want to be. And it was like, I seen an Ariel the mermaid hat, and I was like, Ariel a mermaid, hell no. But at the time, it was just Ariel. It was the mermaid came on as I figured out what type of artist I really was. So that's basically what it was.
So Ariel or Ariel? Ariel?
You can call me Ari.
So okay, Ari. So mm-hmm. Ari. Mm-hmm. You said you're from New Orleans? What part of New Orleans are you from?
I'm from New Orleans, Maison Street, Night War. You know, at the bottom of the map, Florida Desire. You feel me? I moved, but I'm not, I wasn't raised there, but I moved when Hurricane Katrina hit. A lot of my family split up. So, yeah, that's where I'm from. You feel me? My brother got the sign. You know what I'm saying? So, raised that Maison Street up.
So you were in New Orleans when Katrina hit? So you went through it? Like,
I was not there, but I moved once it was happening. I remember when my dad, when it was announced, and my dad, as soon as we was trying to move, we got a flat tire, and we was in that traffic. It was a lot. It took a toll on my family, and it still does to this day.
So have you been back to New Orleans? Like, how has it been post?
You know,
like,
it's crazy.
Has it ever gotten back to what it used to be, or is it just like a shell of itself?
New Orleans would never be the same, ever, after that happened. It's just the vibe and the energy has changed. It's not a lot of our people there. You know what I'm saying? You can still go to the hood. You can see where they mark one dog, two dogs died inside of the house. It'll be spray painted. It'll be one person, three kids. You'll still see that. And you know what I'm saying? It still affected my family to this day. It still affects me because I don't know a lot of my family. I know a lot of my cousins, uncles. I can kind of handful of people that I know in my family.
So, moving to California, how was, like, the culture change from the South to the fast pace, you know what I'm saying, L.A., Southern California?
Yeah, so I moved here from Jackson, Mississippi. It's very slow out there. It's like, you do the same thing every day, you know what I'm saying? And moving out here was just like, I woke up one day and said I wanted to move to California without me really knowing anything about it. I never knew anything about no palm trees. I wasn't focused on that. I thought that shit was just on TV. I never knew it was a place like this. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a big dramatic change for me. And I took it very well. And, yeah, I moved out here. I met a producer that was out here. And I decided to do some work with him. And not only that, I didn't tell him that I was moving out here when I was going to the studio. But he seen my suitcase. He's like, you're moving here? And I was like, yeah, out of nowhere. I just moved here 6 years ago with $500 in my pocket.
So looking back at that 5 years later, what was the biggest lesson you learned from taking that leap and believing in yourself like you did?
The biggest lesson that I learned was, y'all used to really make motherfuckers make me sweat. Y'all really would sweat. Literally, I be sweating. Like, I really would have motherfuckers really, like, discouraging me. I didn't know who I was. I was lost. Shit, I was just a little project bitch. You know what I'm saying? Getting any type of way I could and trying to really make it. You know what I'm saying? And not even knowing what make it was. But, like, honestly, I could say to me 5 years ago, you did good and you succeeded and you're very successful. It's not what, it's like a lot of things that people would think success is. And a lot of people think that it's just financially or anything. But I'm a very successful person from who I look at myself 5 years ago. Definitely. And my family see the same thing.
So what was that moment where that switch flipped in your mind where you was like your confidence level reached, you know what I'm saying, those heights where you looked at yourself different? You know what I'm saying? You said you didn't know who you are. What was that moment where you looked in the mirror and you knew exactly what you was looking at?
I went from surviving to living. Right now I'm living and I'm enjoying life. And when I used to look at myself in the mirror, I really didn't see nothing. I just seen a person, you know, it's just a human. And as developing as an artist, you go through something powerful, especially when you are an artist. And, you know, you go through spiritual awakenings, you go through things spiritual, and you start to write music a different type of way. When you really know the power of music and the frequency of the sound waves and all of these stuff and the influence that you really have, you have to do it a certain type of way. So when I look into my mirror now, I see a very strong person, and I see a mermaid. You know what I'm saying? People ask me why I named myself Aria the Mermaid, because I have been called to be that. I never thought I would be calling myself a mermaid 5 years ago. I said, bitch, is you crazy? But, you know what I'm saying, it's really things like that out in really, that's really real.
So what exactly is a mermaid? Because, you know, the Disney Ariel the Mermaid, you know, and the Atlantis and this, all this make-believe. But then in Greek mythology and all this other stuff, there's different adaptations of what a mermaid is. So what is a mermaid to you?
It's not what a mermaid is to me. I just know that that's what I am. You know what I'm saying? When I started to talk about it and I started to experience these weird things, I started looking it up. I started to get obsessed with what I was experiencing and all of these crazy things that I experienced. But I always knew I was different as a child. You feel me? I was like, is something not right, or am I experiencing this? Am I crazy? You know what I'm saying? But I used to go through a lot, and you know what I'm saying? To be a mermaid is, you can't become a mermaid. You already know that it's something was not really right about you, so you're going to find out what you really are. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody asked me when I was walking, why do you call yourself Ariel the Mermaid? It's just, that's what I am. I mean, I don't want anyone to believe anything. That's just what I am. You know, I was called by Mami Wata. Mami Wata is the spirit of water. You feel me? So, you know what I'm saying? It's an African tribe. It's something that's within, that's very, very deep. A lot of people don't know about, but I didn't know about it either until I was called by God. I'm a God-fearing woman, but also I am also a spiritual woman, gifted, very gifted, far than music.
So is this subject matter something that people can hear in your music when they listen to you?
The music that I put out 6 months ago, I put out an EP called Miss Me With It. You definitely can hear it in my voice. Not as far as the lyrics, but my new project, you can definitely hear my lyrics. I'm taking it to that point to where I'm making music for me.
So what was the difference between this new project and that last project? Why the switch in the subject matter?
The last project, I was feeling myself out. That was, who is R.E.L. I was trying to see who am I and what type of songs I want to write, what type of songs I want to be, what type of artist I really want to be. What, and I, at the time when I was writing those songs, I wanted to be an artist for the people. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I don't want that anymore. I want to be an artist for me. I want to be me at all times.
So how do you go about that, especially in this new, I would say hip-hop is really dominated by female artists nowadays. So how you expect to differentiate yourself from these other female artists if you're not putting out the same type of subject matter that seems to be hitting home?
Well, I don't expect anything. I want to gravitate a type of cult, a type of people that gravitate to my music. I don't want to put anything out to where, you know what I'm saying, they just making music just to, you know, because it's on and popping. I mean, that's cool, but it's get watered down very, very fast. You feel me? And so, it's the hip-hop generation is not as good as it used to be, because people used to make music that actually make people happy, make people feel something inside. But the music that is putting out now is the influence, and it's messing up the kids, it's messing up the people, and it's also messing up the women. And that's where they want to target. They want to target the women first, because the women are nature. We rule the world, we make the world, we the only ones that can produce.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had the Roe versus Wade overturned. And now they're talking about not letting people do IVF. You know what I'm saying? They're denying IVF treatments in Alabama. So that's something that definitely is going on in the South. But as far as, like, being a woman, hip-hop-led game nowadays, mm-hmm. why do you think that the women are dominating over the men? Is it the men subject matter that hasn't changed? Or is it what the women are talking about that got the women more involved in hip-hop now? What was the difference? And why are the women leading in the game now instead of the men?
Because I feel like back in the day, the men, it was more dominated for the men. And it was more easier for the men to get put on. You feel me? And, you know, just like Tupac and Nipsey, they had things they had to say. They had actual real shit to say. You feel me? But nowadays, a lot of people and a lot of men, they don't be talking about shit but killing. How many times you want a young man that's 15, 16 years old to kill somebody? We gonna run out of niggas. You feel me? So at this point, I feel like the women, this now in this era, we need more women to talk about more positive things, because what the fuck, you see the world? We don't see the world, what's happening right now?
So I think that it's a misconception, because a lot of times they used to blame the record labels, saying that the record labels will only sign the artists that are putting out this certain message. But now 90% of these artists are independent. So you control your message. You control the music that you put out. So you can no longer blame the game for you putting out the shoot 'em up, bang, bang music. That's a choice that you making. When you go to the studio, that's the frequency that you on when you choose to make this music. Mm-hmm. So I think that with a lot of these artists being independent, but blaming, hey, they only looking at this music. No, that's all you engulf in. That's all that you partake in. And that's all that you make.
But then again, you can't really blame the person. You have to blame the vessel of the source the person is frequencing on, because they don't know any better. They don't know what they're doing. They see that this is working, and they see that this is good and it's working for them, and they're getting some type of avenue from it, but they don't actually understand what they're doing. That's why music is watered down. Music, nobody's listening to the radio like that no more, because there's no good music. So we need good music back. We need the music from the frequency that it used to be when Michael Jackson was here. He used to always talk about it in his interviews. You feel me? When I started doing music, I didn't know nothing about music at all. I didn't even know I was good at it. I just put out a track. It started popping in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, and then boom, that's it.
So what was that track? What was that track that got you started?
It was on Spinnerilla, this app called Spinnerilla. And I put out a Gimme That. It's called Gimme That. It was a remix song from Webby's. So it was a girl version. And at the time, I was vibrating on a low frequency, because I was doing OnlyFans. I was scripting. You feel me? I was doing all these things. I didn't know any better. I had to grow and have wisdom and learn knowledge and go through shit to understand what it really I was doing and the influence I was putting out to the world. You feel me? So once I found out, You feel me? And I understand how powerful and how powerful I really am. I'm gonna do this shit my way. And if it work, it work. Honestly, it's working for me and I'm happy. You feel me? I don't give a fuck about having millions and trillions of dollars or being famous or whatever the fuck they be wanting. I'm happy because it's making other people happy. And the only thing that I really just love is when I hear people in my DM and see people in my DM and they see me and they see where I started from and they say, I motivate them. I made it. I already made it.
So speaking of social media, I know recently you've been talking about deleting your social media, mm-hmm. getting off of social media, you're kind of getting tired of all the negativity that comes with being on that app. When you sign on, 90% of the stuff you see is not positive. So what is it about social media that makes you want to get off of it?
99% of the stuff that I see on my Instagram is positive because I don't look at certain shit. As you can see, like, when you on your Instagram, you look at shit that you like. If you looking at race car shit, you're going to see race cars. If you looking at, you know what I'm saying, sports, you're going to see a lot of sports. I see a lot of people that's talking about positive shit, talking and preaching and all types of stuff. I look at social media as different, but the reason why I say I wanted to delete my Instagram, it was because I just don't like the fakeness that's in it. And you feel me? I don't like to fake a lot. I like to be me, and that's all I could be, you feel me? But my fans was like, hell no. And one of my fans that I never really even knew was a fan sent me this long paragraph and telling me, girl, do not even try to delete your Instagram. You know how far you came? You got to use this avenue to become something bigger. And I'm like, you know what? Just for that person, and I forgot his name, I told him that I'll keep my Instagram. And I said, you're going to remember this even to when I die. You're going to be the reason why I keep it, because the message that you gave me is unforgettable. It made me feel happy. And I feel like deleting my Instagram, I would be selfish for it because the influence that I have on the people.
So social media, you don't think that is a necessary tool, especially for an independent artist?
It's definitely a necessary tool now.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of artists, especially independent ones, rely on their social media presence to build a fan base and to be able to connect with their listeners.
Yeah.
So how do you plan to use social media, since you're going to stay on it, to connect with the listeners more? What type of content do you plan to put out? What is your plan to actually use social media for the things that you're there for?
I just want to use social media now in a different way that I used to, and just talk and be very unique and just be myself, honestly. And far as doing more videos or showing people my new work that I'm working on, you know what I'm saying? Just show something different, you know what I'm saying? Other than who I used to be. There's a lot of my followers on there was there when I was the ratchet me, didn't know nothing, the hood rat me. And then they see me now, and I motivate a lot of people. You feel me? And it was very selfish of me, and I honestly apologize to all my fans. You know, I would not delete my or ever think about it again, because I know the impact that I have on people. You feel me? Just like, it's just, I just know the impact now. You know, I sat down and thought about it.
So I seen your most recent visual. You shot that with Crime City Films.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out to Crime City.
Shout out Crime City.
That's the homie, you know what I'm saying? I know Crime City. I just seen them. We was in Vegas. Mm-hmm. At the Gumbo Brands premiere, man. So shout out to Crime City. How did that come about? How did you meet Crime City? Like, what was the link for that?
How did I meet Crime City? Oh, I went to his listening party for his artists. They're twins, I believe, or they're brothers. And I went to the listening party, and I met him. I linked up with him.
So that track that you dropped, tell the people that track and tell people why they need to go listen to that.
So the track is called Villain. I don't know where the lyrics came about. I was in one day in my bed, and I was thinking about something. It was like, you better open up that door. Why these bitches so fakely? I don't give a fuck, I'm taking shit. Try so hard to stop my shine. I don't care, I come for mine. Bitches mad, I'm coming in. Take a spot full of confidence. Chase the bag like a crack addict. Got a nigga wanna brag about it. But that shit just came... That just came out of nowhere, but this song is a very different type of song. So basically, it's me and the evil me. So it's the good me and the evil me. If you really listen to it, you can listen to the darker, lower tone in the background as I'm talking and as I'm saying. And I'm just saying that basically it's like I feel like a good person, but then again I feel like a villain because I know a lot of shit people don't know, and I feel a lot of shit people don't feel, and I'm a very powerful person and I can make shit happen, you feel me? So, and sometimes at the time I was feeling like a villain, but I realized if you listen to the end of the song that I'm actually light. So it's just like, you know, like Harley Quinn, kind of, a little bit.
So as far as like rappers on the coast, are you just like rapping by yourself? Is there a clique that you with? Like, what other artists do you like rock with out here in Cali?
It's just me, but I rock with a lot of artists. Like, I like Nico Nicole. I fuck with her. I love her sound. I really just fuck with Nico Nicole. I don't really know a lot of people that I really like the sound of, but I just really like her sound. And I like Ice Girl, of course. I'm going to show you how to break a nigga pockets down. Hey, break them down.
Shout out to Diamond Ice Girl.
Yeah, yes. But like, that's really it. Yeah.
So I met you outside on a red carpet. Well, I forgot what event was that. Do you remember?
The Heart of Hollywood magazine.
Yeah, so what were you doing out at that? Like, do you go out to these red carpet events all the time? Is this something that you're starting to get into to get your name out there? Like, what's the plan?
Yeah, this is something I'm really looking forward to doing something and stepping out of my comfort zone, you know, get my face out there. I look very different. I just want to show that I am different, and I know I really don't want to show it. I don't give a fuck. But, yeah, I just want to step into the scene and show people what I am. And that's what I am. What you see is what you get. You ain't gonna get nothing less.
So what do you get out of these red carpet, like, as an artist?
The experience and interacting with different artists, different type of influencers, and definitely different type of people. So it builds me up and it builds up my character.
I think that because we're born and raised out here, we don't understand how much opportunity is put forth. A lot of the artists that are from this area haven't set foot on one of these carpets, don't attend none of these events, don't do any of this networking, but expect to make it out here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't understand how artists have Hollywood, have LA, have all of these assets in their backyard, but don't tap into them, but expect to grow as an artist. That's how, you know what I'm saying? Sparta's like media. You coming on this podcast. This your first podcast interview?
Yes, it's my first podcast.
So do you plan to go on like a podcast tour when you drop your new singles, your new projects? What is like the plan to utilize the media? Because it's a lot of talk about content versus media. Content is popular, but it doesn't do anything for the artist because it doesn't leave the people knowing who you are as an artist, and it doesn't make them a fan of your music. So a lot of artists are doing like 20 versus 1. They're doing like these flash in the pan content where they get hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of views, but it doesn't translate into any fans of their music. Yeah. How do you plan to use media instead of content, you know what I'm saying, to let the people know who Ariel the Mermaid is?
Well, what Ariel the Mermaid is gonna do is just when she gets to this mic, she gonna speak whatever comes to her mind. You feel me? Anytime, media, content, everything. At first I was just far back in just like, what's the word, discouraged a lot because of how I look and how I sound, you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by how you look? I don't.
I look very different from my family.
So what do you mean? They're like darker skinned, a different complexion?
They're a different complexion than me, but I look very different. You probably wouldn't think the people that are my family is my family. And just like the post that I just made, someone said, I didn't know you was black. Like, damn, I'm black.
Nah,
so like so like it's not that. I love my skin complexion. I love people, but like, you know what I'm saying, I'm different. I'm a different person, my mind and everything.
So what about dating? How are you going about dating in this 2024 climate? Like, I think that it's a disconnect with, mm-hmm. with black women and black men. Mm-hmm. I think that black women have been shouldering, you know what I'm saying, all the burden.
The other ones? Oh, no, I love me a black man.
Yeah, I think that.
I don't think I'll ever be with anything else.
You wouldn't date a white man? What about a Mexican?
I wouldn't. I love me a black nigga. And It just, like, far as me dating people, I just, like, I be spiritually inclined with my mates. So, like, we don't be talking on a day-to-day basics, but when we meet, you know what it is. You know what it is, y'all.
So is it hard to find somebody that you can connect with nowadays?
I don't find nobody. But my vibration be so high that I attract what I attract. You know, I love that. You know what I'm saying? I love what I love. You know what I'm saying? I'm very loved. Mm-hmm.
So back to the music, man. So what's the next single? What's the next project? Talking about how your new project is going to be so different from your last project. So what is this upcoming project that you're referring to?
This shit is going
to
be magical, bro. Because the energy that I put into it, like, it's just going to be good. Like, I just see it and I feel it. It's I'm thinking about this, the song or the EP or the album being called Deep In. It's going to be a magical thing for me. It's going to be a blessing.
So how many tracks are going to be on this? Is it going to be like an EP? Or is it going to be a full album?
I don't know.
What's the plan for this? Is it going
to
each song?
7 to 10.
Is each song going to have a visual connected to it?
Damn, I don't know about the visual, but I'm definitely going to work on the people's imagination.
Now, reels are popular short form content where you don't have to shoot a full form music video.
Yeah, the reels.
You can just shoot a reel, shoot a performance scene. You know, we have hanging mic videos that are real popular. There's so many different avenues to get a visual out without it being a music video. Mm-hmm. Have you tapped into that? Have you started to do that? Because I've seen artists that have done that, and their viewership and as far as their listeners and everything have all skyrocketed because of switching from full-form content to short-form content. Have you tried that yourself?
Have I? Not really, but... it's definitely this new avenue. I'm going to give it a try. You know what I'm saying?
So are you looking to be signed? Are you looking to join a label? Are you looking to get a deal for your own label situation? Are you looking to join somebody else's team or form your own? What is the plan as far as your career?
I'm not looking forward for anything. I just feel like whatever's naturally going to come to me is going to come to me. You feel me? Of course, every independent artist need help, you feel me? But I like the fact that I'm doing it on my own and I'm growing and I'm artisting, developing myself. Because a lot of people don't understand that your artist is not supposed to be you. It's supposed to be two different people. Like me, outside of this, I'm a whole different human being. You probably won't recognize me. But me right now as Ariel, the mermaid, that you're talking to, me. So you have to really grow that artist, develop it, treat it, feed it, take care of it, nurture it, you feel me, for this person to become this person and this influence. So, yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that you did OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
Is the money as good as they try to say it is on OnlyFans?
It's retarded.
It's ridiculous out there?
It's retarded.
You know, a lot of, that's a new pimp game now.
Yeah.
You get a camera, you get these girls in a hotel room, and you be their content manager. And you shoot their OnlyFans and manage their content and take a cut of what they bringing on. And this is the new age pimping.
It's retarded.
Did you run into these content pimps? Did they try to pimp you out on OnlyFans?
No. I started OnlyFans when it first came out. So I think when Johnny Blaze, I don't know who, but I started OnlyFans when it first came out. In my first month, I made 10 bands. And that's solo content. But the thing about that is, and I want to mention this because I don't want to act like I didn't go through that. Even though my Instagram page, you don't see that content anymore, I went through that. And a lot of girls are stuck in that shit because that's how OnlyFans want you to be. They want you to be stuck in it. And it was hard. It was kind of hard for me to get out of it and delete it. It took me almost 3 years to fully deleted after I've been wanting to get out of it. You feel me? That shit is weird and it's creepy and it's retarded. But I understand at the girls that are in it right now because it's so fast money and it's so easy to make in your bed and just not do it. I just would say just don't do it because You know, do it for the meantime, but don't let that define you. I always have some type of plan, and that's what I did. I have an exit plan on how much I wanted to make, and then I got off of it. Before, everybody used to say, oh, that's the girl that did OnlyFans. You feel me? Nobody is going to say that.
Yeah, because that was the next question. Is, have you ever ran into somebody that was fanning out? Like, oh, yeah, I got your... I'm a subscriber to your page. Have you ran into anybody that subscribed to you in person?
No, I have not. But I have ran into people that had a lot of fake pages of me. And I remember I was at this gas station. This guy came up like, yo, what's good? You ain't get my text? You don't know who I am now? Okay, bet. Okay. And I'll go in the gas station. It's like, I don't know who you are, but I have a lot of fake pages. I have a lot of people that was pretending to be me when I first started to make music. My fake page game was so high. And then I remember when I used to have my Snapchat, this guy would inbox me and he said, yo, you gonna have my brother buy you this engagement ring? And you're not gonna talk to him now? Like, what is going on? And I was like, yo, I don't know who you was talking to, but it wasn't me. You feel me? And then he videoed me crying. And I showed him that it was really me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It wasn't me. And I could tell that he was really in love. And his cousin was contacting me. And then after that, he still proceeded to try to talk to me. Because he fell in love with the image of me. And that's where the influence come in. You feel me? You play on people's emotions.
So they were using your pictures to catfish a nigga.
Yeah. A lot of that was going on. A lot of it.
Jeez.
So many. Fake pages. I run on Facebook. It's a fake page of me. Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere. Fake.
I ran into plenty of people that have been catfish. I've never seen anybody or met anybody that was used to be the person to catfish.
A lot of that. So much of it. And then I ran into the girl that was creating all these fake pages, and she was mentally ill. After that, I just gave it up. I was like, I can't do anything about this. She's mental. You feel me? And it was like men coming up to me saying they really met me. I'm like, I'm so sorry. It wasn't me.
That shit wild. That shit wild.
Yeah, that shit is wild.
So being out here in Cali, what do you think is the best thing out here compared to being out in the South?
The best thing?
Mm-hmm.
I love the views. I love the views. The views are nice. The people are nice. The connection, the money is nice. You feel me? I like that. Everything doesn't stay the same. Shit always change.
Mm-hmm.
You could be going through this shit this week, but next week you in a whole nother world. Like, I was actually working and I was selling water treatment systems, so reverse osmosis. I tried to dip into a lane where I never did before. So I'm selling reverse osmosis and stuff like that. And, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really like that world. You feel me? So me just trying in different things, you know what I'm saying? I'm a regular person. You feel me? I'm over here selling water treatment systems. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I'm selling it and it's going good. You feel me? And it's just a whole different world. I'm just be trying shit. That's what I like about LA. You can try different shit.
So a studio session, when you go to a studio session, what does that look like for you?
It looks empty.
So just you in the room and the engineer?
Yep, me and my engineer.
That's it? You don't like no feedback? You don't want nobody in the room?
I don't need feedback.
Why is
but
that?
But it's just me.
So have you had a studio session where it was a bunch of people?
It's me, the engineer, and the cameraman.
And it's always been like that?
Yeah, always.
Because a lot of people like to party in the studio, you know, a lot of drinks and drugs and alcohol and all
guns.
That shit.
I mean, I have a gun on the table, but it's just me. You feel me? And that's how I like it. A lot of people, if it was a group of people, just so say, and I feel something, I'm going to say, hey, can you exit this session? I'm going to feel something from that person. I'm not going to like it. That's just how it is.
I feel it. So as far as like your beat selection, do you go through like beat packs? Do like people send you like beats for you to like rap on? Do you like look for producers? How do you make relationships with the producers?
Most of the time producers send me the beats. And if I like it, I like it. But honestly, I'm not that picky. If I like the first beat, guarantee I'm gonna like all the beats. Producers send me a pack of beats and I made a song to each one and all of them hits. So it's like, if I like the producer, it's all about my relationship with the producer.
So do you rather work with one, two producers and create a certain sound for yourself instead of dealing with all type of different producers trying to find a sound that hit? Have you found your sound, per se?
I definitely found my sound within my character as Aria the Mermaid. Far as my beat selection, I can make all types of music. That's one thing about me. I can make rock music, pop music, hip-hop, rap, sad music, opera probably. It's probably Jamaican music, but it's like...
Yeah, I think Afrobeats is real popular
Afrobeats,
right now.
Afrobeats, I say Jamaican, my bad.
You really got to tap into the Afrobeats world.
Afrobeats. I'm actually working on a song right now with the same producer that produced A Villain. I'm actually working on a song right now that's Afrobeats, so yeah.
So do you consider yourself a rapper or a singer or just an artist?
I just put myself in just a genre that just say genre. You feel me? I'm not a rapper. I don't want to be a rapper. I can be a rapper. I write songs for rappers. You feel me? But I'm not a rapper. I'm honestly just a creative person. I'm a creative artist. I paint. I draw crazy things. You feel me? Shit, I knit, crochet. I'm just a different person. I just, the image that I portray, a lot of people will look at me as some type of stuck up bitch or bitch that don't know nothing, but I'm very much intelligent. I'm just me. You feel me?
So 2024, we're in the first quarter of 2024, coming to the end. What is your plans for the rest of the first quarter? You know, I know you just dropped that visual Crime City. You got anything else coming for the first quarter?
I don't.
What about the second quarter? What's your plans to hit them hard coming into that second?
I don't.
So you just kind of filling it out?
I just go with the flow.
Filling it out?
I go with the flow and make it happen. You feel me? I'm just going with the flow. I just want to drop what I feel that should be dropped at the time. You feel me? Right now I'm on my meditation mode. I'm not writing or anything right now. You feel me? So I'm just dropping what I feel that should be dropped at the moment. So when I get that feeling, I'll drop something. Right now I'm on meditation mode. I'm building me. I'm working on me.
So is this to like go inward? Are you trying to find yourself? What are you looking for within yourself that you haven't found yet?
It's been found. I found it. But the thing about it, I've been found it. I'm not looking for anything. I'm meditating on it. I'm sitting on it. I'm embracing it. You feel me? I'm loving it. I'm loving me. You feel me? I'm big on femininity and goddess enlightenment. I'm embracing what I always had and always already had that I didn't know, and I'm loving it. You feel me? I'm making love to me. You feel me? I'm just loving it. So when I am on the scene, I give it all I could get. You feel me? And all I got. You feel me? And then I'm back to loving me. You feel me? It's okay to just be, you know, not always trying to be an artist all the time. I give me my artistry a break. And that's how when you come back into the studio, your sound sounds so different. Like, it sounds like you've been doing music for 10 years. And that's what I got when I first started. People thought that I was doing music for almost 5 years. And I just started, you feel me? So when I know when I'm back in on a mic, I'm going to make love to it because I've been making love to me. You feel me? My sound going to sound like it's been together, like I've been on a mic. You feel me? That's what's so very important. We're giving yourself a little break. It's okay. Time is time. Time is man-made. You feel me? But your time, your living existence is a different type of time. So I'll post when it's the right time. It's ready to post. You feel me?
So you had any advice to a young girl that wanted to become a rapper right now? What would that advice be?
My advice would be who you are. You don't have to think that you want to be a rapper because that's what you think it is in a luxury life. You feel me? Find who you are, and you're not going to find that in one day. I haven't found it in one day. It took me years to find out who I wanted to be, and I don't even want to be a rapper. So if you want to be a rapper, and you know and you feel it in your heart, and ever since you was a kid, that was the thing that you wanted to do, it must have was a calling for you to be some type of influence on speaking, but maybe it wasn't a rapper. And you can't get discouraged if it's not you're going to be a rapper. You feel me? Try the rapping thing, and you're going to know if it's for you when you keep pushing, even though the discouragement and people that want to take you down, and you still doing it. You feel me? Just don't define yourself as just one category. try different shit. Try do hair, try business. I had my own business, running my own business. Tanisha Arnold came and racked up all my fucking eyelashes when I first put it out. You feel me? So I'm not only a rapper, I'm everything. You feel me? I'm the universe. Be the universe. Find out who you are, because we all are some type of universe. You just got to know what planet are you really on. You feel me? You're not just a rapper. I'm not going to take that. And if I had $1 million, I wouldn't give it to you. You just said, I'm a rapper. I'm not going to give it to you.
And I feel that, man. You talking that shit. So before we get up out of here, as we wrap it up, man, tell everybody that latest single that they need to go check out, and tell them where they can find you on social media.
Okay,
and all platforms.
It's your girl Arielle, the motherfucking mermaid. My last single was Ooh Ooh. Ass fed like ooh ooh ooh. Yeah. You can find it on everywhere. It's on Apple Music everywhere. You can find me on Instagram as IAM_AREIL. Bitch.
For sure. You heard her, man. So Arielle the Mermaid, man. Make sure you check her out. Follow her on all social media platforms. Check her music out on all DSPs. You already know what time it is. It's Mr. Politic and himself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Politic and per usual. Yeah. Episodes dropping every Monday. Shout out to the Exotic Pops. We got our other sponsors, man. Richie Rich Flower, hit us up, man. You already know. So stop by Green Label. Get that flower, that Richie Rich flower, you know what I'm saying? Right after this, we finna go hit one of these. So you already know, man. Shout out to Green Label. But you already know what time it is. It's your boy, Mr. Dank Sinatra. What's politicking that? Himself. I don't know what you gonna do with your life, but I'm gonna get to it, man. We out.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
And see. Easy work. You seem like you've done this.